May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God. Amen. Imagine that one day we wake up and nothing is as it was yesterday or like every other day we've ever known. Imagine we wake one day to a day that has not been seen since that last one in Eden, before the forbidden fruit was sampled and passed around, before hiding ourselves from God seemed logical, before pointing blaming fingers became a matter of survival. Imagine that we wake up and it is not like the former days anymore. In fact, the world to which we awaken is so unlike the world we have always known that we can't even recall what those former days were like. On this strange morning, our memories of the former things take on that strange, foggy quality we experience every now and then, when we aren't quite sure if something actually happened or whether we dreamed it. But the former things really did happen, and their memory breaks through the fog, leaving us in disbelief that we ever lived in a world where parents work 40-hour weeks, but even so cannot set their tables with enough to still rumbling tummies. Where choices made by powerful men in secured offices send young people barely out of high school, far away to fight other young people. Surely we didn't live like this, we ask, straining to recall. Did we really keep polluting the earth after all those warnings? Did some really once believe that we didn't need to care about those who didn't share our country or tongue or faith or race? The pain of these memories makes the obscuring fog strangely appealing. More of it, please. We gladly surrender our recollection of the former things.
I am about to create news. News heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind.
Now, this new creation is not simply a clean copy of the original before it was polluted by sin. It's wholly new, different. There is one interesting callback to Eden, though. The serpent will not fool us twice. The wolf and the lamb will be dinner companions. The lion, vegetarian, sharing the ox's straw. But the serpent, that old symbol of our downfall, will eat dust from the start. It will not thwart God's good creation a second time. This morning of the new creation, rather than a garden, we awaken to a city. Our eyes blink against the bright sun to a downtown, bustling with the things that make for life, the things that make for joy. Bicycles whiz by as children hurry off to safe and fully funded schools, where every teacher is appreciated and every student celebrated for the unique gifts given him by his creator. And the classroom is enriched by that variety. Quick learners wait for those who need a bit more time. And in this waiting, all learners deepen their appreciation for the beauty of language, mathematics, the arts, and science. Lunchtime brings with it trays with whole and healthy foods. Heads bow to give thanks with no pickiness about even that which is leafy and green. Cafeteria tables are set as if they were the Lord's. Everyone is welcome. You may hear this seat saved, but it will always be followed by for you. Meanwhile, adults are at their jobs. Yes, there is work, even in this new creation. But we labor only over those things that matter. We plant and we build and we enjoy the work of our hands. And the fruit of this labor fills every stomach and houses every family. But there are many jobs you won't see in this new world, as they were lost to that same fog that swallowed up so much of the former things, unneeded in this new creation. Nothing goes awry, so there is no need to course correct. Skills of the former days, those that restrain, protect, correct, defend, and mend, are repurposed toward work that enriches, develops, and grows. There are no gaps through which the least might fall. There is no least of these at all. Nonprofit no longer describes agencies that feed, house, and help, but is a word that governs our whole lives together. When the workday ends, families return home with evenings wide open for leisure, for art and music, for games and play, for sitting on the porch counting lightning bug flashes. And on the Sabbath, we rest.
Be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating, for I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight.
So far, we've only thought about what this creation is like for us. And what a breath of fresh air to know that our children are safe, our homes and tables secure, and that we need not worry over the needs of our neighbors. But how much more must this alternate creation please God, the Creator? Now, for a moment, we must pass back through the fog, back to our present creation, and pause to think about how much our brokenness grieves the God who set this all in motion. What might it be like to craft something as perfect as this world and then bear witness to the suffering we inflict upon one another? How must that feel like for God? And we can't know what divine grief feels like, but we have witnessed its power. It moved God to speak through a burning bush, to send prophet after prophet with warnings. And when the time was right, to reach in the closet and get dressed in human skin to live among us and lead us in the way of righteousness and faithfulness. We all know how that went. Some things there is not enough fog in all of creation to hide. The world rejected not only the goodness of God's creation, but God himself in the flesh. For those with eyes to see, Jesus Christ crucified was God's heartbreak on full display. So how might God experience this new creation when at last humankind understands the preciousness of the gift and stewards it accordingly? When at last we care for all of creation with the reverence owed something that belongs to someone else? Because in this new creation, we understand fully, deeply, innately that everything belongs to God. After millennia, if duration of time is even something God experiences, after millennia of watching us bungle up this creation, how might it feel for God to witness creation unfold as it was intended? Even God will rejoice. Even God will delight. This new creation is good, so, so good.
I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people.
There's something puzzling we haven't considered yet. How would we live in such a world as this? Who would we be if we weren't tending to ailing bodies, broken hearts, shattered lives? Who would we be if we weren't hustling to earn enough money to provide for our families, to put our kids through school, to fund our retirements, to keep up with both the trends and the Joneses? We spend so much of our days trying to solve problems that simply do not exist in this new creation. What will we do with all that extra time? What would there be left to do if all our needs were met, if all of us were whole, if no one took more than they needed and there was enough for everyone? What would there be left to do but give thanks? What would there be left to do but love and delight in God and one another? The day to come with a new heaven and a new earth emerging from the fog of former things that are no longer remembered appears first in Isaiah and then again in Revelation. It is a vision that sustained those who returned from exile to a holy city their parents had told them all about. That wasn't quite what they expected. It is a vision that sustained the early church amid persecutions. It is a vision that has sustained who knows how many communities who have read it like we read it today. And it is a vision that can sustain us in our darkest days. But it is also a vision that we can participate in, one that we can work toward. Jesus came living according to the values of this creation yet to be. He offered us a preview, and his life gives us the pattern for how we also can live according to the new creation. We can get a jump start. It's not too soon for us to participate in the vision of a city to come where all needs are met, all people are loved, and God himself is delighted. So now, we look forward through the fog to a day that is ever coming more clearly into view. One where wolf and lamb feed together, where tears are wiped away, where our God will hear us even before we call. And on that day, we will embrace lives of gratitude, dedicated to worshiping the God who still makes all things new. Thanks be to God. Amen.